Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
He likes to be prepared for important events in our life, don't we? All of us none of us like to be ill-prepared or unprepared, to say the least. We like to be prepared to meet a girl or boy on our first date, don't we? We like to be prepared to meet future in-laws for the first time. 446 today, we're down just a little bit. We like to make preparation to meet a new boss or to start a new job. We like to make preparations to be ready to meet an important person. You know, we wouldn't think about meeting the president or meeting the governor and this kind of thing without making a little bit of preparation. We wouldn't want to meet him on the spur of the moment. We'd like to make preparations to meet important people. We like to make preparations to make a talk. Any of you who have to do that kind of work or have an opportunity to do that kind of work like to make a little preparation. One of the main causes of stage fright is feeling unprepared. I guess one of the things that would be a main cause of fear of meeting other people or making a talk or meeting the in-laws the first time or that girl or a boy that we're going to have a first date with is the feeling of being unprepared. Well, we need not really have that kind of fear if we are prepared. We need to make adequate preparation. All of us make preparation to have company when we're in our homes, don't we? There's an appointment that all of us, one of these days, are going to make. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, just as surely as Jesus died and was raised from the dead, just that surely, there will be a judgment. According to Paul in Acts chapter 30 and verse 31. And every person is going to meet God in that judgment. In Acts chapter 14, Paul is talking in the context about judging other people, judging our brethren. And he says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so then each one of us shall give an account of himself before God." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." And we notice the previous verse in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5 that we're to make it our aim to be well-pleasing unto Him. It should be our purpose in life, our goal in life, our aim is to live in such a way to be well-pleasing to God when we stand before Him. Because every one of us will. The prophet Amos in the Old Testament was a prophet to the kingdom of Israel. Israel had long since gone astray. They had left God. They had left His way. They were no longer living in harmony with His will. God had punished them through several means. He had brought famine upon them. He had brought war. He had brought a dearth of rain. He had caused their cities to be destroyed. But nothing seemed to work. Nothing seemed to cause the people to repent. And then the prophet cried out to them, I guess probably because of his concern for them and also because of the concern that God had given him for them. He cried out to them because of their lack of religious living, their lack of faithful living. They were religious ritually. They went through the motions. He talks about the sacrifices that they offered. As you read through the whole book, you see that they offered many sacrifices. Why they didn't miss a sacrifice? They wouldn't miss going down and offering a goat or a bull at a certain time of the year. They went through the outward ritual. But inwardly, they were no longer really God's people. They were ritualistic people But they were not really religious people. They were religious people, but they were not really God's people. You understand? And so Amos is sent to them, and he cries out in chapter 4 and verse 12, "Therefore will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this, prepare to meet thy God." Have you ever seen those signs on the road? Get a kick out of them, you know. I used to see those and I think, oh, how... Until I read Amos. Until I saw what our so-called prophets of doom were saying. Prepare to meet God. That's what Amos told his people. That's what Amos told those who were surface people. People who were surface type of God believers. They were practical atheists. They proclaimed their belief in God and their faithfulness to God by their ritual, but inwardly they were, and according to their lives and practice, they were atheists. They had forgotten God, and they had forgotten the judgment of God. It's so easy, folks. It's so easy to put God out of the picture. It's so easy to go to work and forget God every day. It's so easy to put Him in the back of our minds when it comes to ethical decisions. It's so easy to put Him, you know, back here someplace when it comes to justice and justness and love and mercy and kindness and respect and love for others, isn't it? It's so easy to leave God in the building on Sunday morning and Sunday night and go home and then live like the devil the rest of the week. It's easy to do that. It was for these people. And I fear that it has become even more easy for us. Prepare to meet God. That's what Amos said. People of Israel, to prepare to meet your God. Because you're going to meet Him. And you're not going to like it. As you read through Amos, he says, you won't want the day of the Lord. You say, oh, come on, the day of the Lord, let it come. And Amos says, you don't want it. You don't want the day of the Lord because you're not prepared for the day of the Lord. Prepare to meet God. Why is it important to prepare? It's important because it will be God that we meet. It'll not be a man. It'll not be a friend or an enemy in the human sense. It'll be God. And Amos says in chapter 4 and verse 13, "For lo, he that formeth the mountains and created the winds, he that created everything that you see, even to the highest pinnacle of the earth, and he that creates everything that you do not see, even the winds, and sets them in motion, it is he that you'll meet. And he declareth unto man what is his thought. He knows everything, even the things that we think. That maketh the morning darkness, that is, he makes the sun and the moon and the stars and causes the seasons and causes the days and everything about sustenance of life. And he treadeth upon the high places of the earth. There's not any place that he's not. That God is the God we're going to have to prepare to meet. It's not some God who doesn't know, who doesn't see, who doesn't feel, who doesn't touch. But it is God who knows all things, who created all things, sustains all things, and sees all things, and is every place. That's the God we're going to meet. This meeting will settle our eternal destiny. In Hebrews 9 and 27, this judgment, after death, then comes judgment. And there will not be a second chance. After death, then the judgment. The judgment is going to be after death, and there's not going to be anything in between. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, the writer talks about the white, great white throne judgment and how that Hades, that is death, everything that is in the death will come and stand before the throne. Everything that is alive, every person that is alive will come and stand before the throne. And those that are found guilty, whose names are not written in the book of life, shall be cast into the lake of fire. All of us shall be manifested before the throne of Christ, that each one may give may give an account for the things which he's done in the flesh, according to what he hath done, whether it be good and evil. In Matthew 25, Jesus pictures the throne, the last day, when Jesus is sitting on the throne, and he calls all nations before him and judges him, or judges them at that point. There's no second chance after death. You prepare now, or meet God unprepared. Prepare now, for there's no second chance. Now, this preparation must be adequate. It is not a partial preparation. In Matthew 25, Jesus deals with three scenes of the coming judgment, of the coming back of the Lord. In the second, he's talking about five talents, a man who was given five talents. He had the ability to use five talents. A talent is about $1,000. A man who was given two talents by his Lord, he had the ability to use those two talents. And a man who was given one talent, he had the ability to use them. The man who had five gained five more. He used the ability that God had given him, and he was found well-pleasing in God's sight at the judgment. The man who was given two talents used those talents and had the used his ability, gained two more, and was found pleasing. But the man who had one went and hid it in the ground. Now, his argument was this: I didn't lose it. He didn't go out and waste it. He didn't go out and squander it on riotous living. He didn't go out and misuse it or abuse it. He just hid it in the ground. It was a partial preparation. He didn't use what God had given him. He didn't do what God had told him. And there are many today who believe in a partial preparation. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. But what do you do for the Lord? You see, that's the question in many people's case. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, Paul tells us that if we do these things, that is, add the Christian virtues to our life, add faith, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. If we add those things and we diligently serve in those areas, then we will earn for ourselves or gain for ourselves or have an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom, which He's prepared for us. And we ought to be striving for an abundant entrance, not a squeaking through underneath the gate. Be prepared at all times. Not partial preparation, and be prepared at all times. We must be prepared at all times because you know not when the Lord is going to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 6, Paul gives us at least two pictures there of the coming of the Lord and how it's going to be, well, unbeknownst to us. He says, "But ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And Jesus used this picture frequently and said, if the man of the house knew when the thief was going to come, he'd be prepared to meet the thief. He'd lock up and be protected against him. But he didn't know. And the Lord is going to come like that. Nobody's going to know. In spite of the fact that many people say they're going to know, nobody's going to know. You don't know and I don't know when the Lord's going to come. When they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail with a child, a woman with a child, and they shall in no wise escape. Here's the second picture, a woman in labor. You don't know for sure when she's going to start labor, but when she does, it's time to deliver the child. And likewise, the Lord is going to come. At an unexpected time, He's going to come. We don't know when. Be prepared. The rich man in Luke chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, you remember, who prospered and said, I've got to build some bigger barns, and went out and built bigger barns for his grain. And then he sat back on his front porch in his rocking chair and folded his arms and said, now, soul, take thine ease. You've got it made. And then the Lord said to that man, thou fool, tonight shall thy soul be required of thee. Now whose thing shall these things that you've prepared be? He prepared materially, but he was unprepared spiritually. And I fear that many of us may be in that situation. Be prepared, and the preparation must be adequate. Don't wait until the deathbed to prepare. I know of some people, and have talked with some people, who say, well, I'm going to wait until I can live it. I'm going to wait till the day that I think I'll never make a mistake again. I'm going to wait until I won't have any chances of being improper or sinful, or live a corrupt life. I'm not going to take any. Listen, my friends, you don't know when your death is going to come. A poem was written about this called My Sincere Prayer. Listen to it. Dear Father, when I pass away, perhaps there won't be time to pray. for death may strike too suddenly, and I'll not have time to call on Thee. So, precious Lord, while yet I live, be Thou my Savior, cleanse and forgive. And help me, Lord, to watch and pray, to serve Thee gladly day by day. And be at all times by Thy grace prepared to meet Thee face to face. And be at all times by Thy grace prepared to meet Thee face to face. My friends, you need to prepare because you don't know when you're going to die. You may not have a chance to prepare. It'll be too late. And then think about this. What about the person who waits until his deathbed or waits till he almost is ready to obey the gospel? Some are fortunate enough where they can do that. But it's too dangerous. It's just too dangerous. Listen to the punishment on those who know what to do. James says, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." James 4:17. But listen to what Jesus said about it. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 47, "And that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." His punishment is going to be sore. His punishment is going to be more than the man who did not know. I believe there's going to be degrees of punishment in hell. I believe this passage teaches it. And the one who's going to be punished the most is the man who knows what he ought to do and refuses to do it. Who knows that he ought to prepare and will not prepare, who refuses to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare to meet thy God. The preparation needs to be adequate. And also, there are some who think they're prepared when they're not. When you look at the Scriptures, and for instance, in Matthew chapter 25, the passage that I mentioned earlier, these three stories told by Jesus, the first we come to is that of the parable of the foolish and wise virgins who are waiting on the bridegroom to come for the marriage feast. They wait and wait and wait, and five of them made adequate preparation to have plenty of oil so that if they had to delay, they could. But the others were foolish, and they did not make adequate preparation. They did not prepare themselves. And so when the announcement was coming, that the Lord was coming, the people who were foolish didn't have enough oil. And so they had to run out and try to find some at the last minute. And when they got back to the wedding feast, the door was closed. And they pounded on the door and said, "Let us in." And the bridegroom said, "No. No, the door is closed. The door is closed." They were foolish. And the picture is that when the Lord comes, it's going to be too late. You can't be partially prepared. You've got to be prepared. Don't be foolish and just be partially prepared. Be wise and be altogether prepared. And then also there is the picture in Matthew chapter 7 of the foolish builder and the wise builder. Remember? The wise builder builds his house on the foundation of God and solid rock, on the Scripture and on the teachings and on the obedience to the will of God. And the foolish man builds his house on the sand, the shifting sands of life, and not on the Word of God, and not on His will. And when the storms of life come, and when difficulty comes, and when the end comes, then what will happen? Well, the man who is foolish, house will be lost. His life will be worthless. The man who's wise shall receive the reward. And look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Here's another case. These are people who think they are serving acceptably, but are not. They think they're serving acceptably the Lord, but they're not. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? By thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." They were workers of iniquity, not that they were wicked and mean people, but that they were partially prepared. They were not altogether prepared. They had not been obedient to the Father's will. They had done what they chose to do instead of doing the Lord's will. And then you find also in Matthew 22, verse 11 to 14, the story of the man who was called in from the highways and byways to the wedding feast, the great feast of the king. And when the Lord came, and He came into that group, and He found a man who didn't have a wedding garment, wasn't prepared. And the Lord said, cast the man out. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because he wasn't prepared. We need to be prepared. We're going to meet God in the judgment one of these days. We need to be prepared. Not partially prepared. Not inadequately prepared. But altogether prepared to meet God. How do we go about that? Well, we need to obey God. We need to obey His will. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the writer says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became unto all those who obey him, the author of eternal salvation. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. We need to keep the commandments of God, obey His will. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he goes on to say, if you love me, the Father will love you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and the Father and I both will be in you. You need to obey God. Specifically, we need to obey the gospel initially. We need to have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in John 8 and 24, rather, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am He, I say again, you shall die in your sins. You must have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must be willing to repent or turn away from sin and not live in servitude to sin any longer. Now, we're going to sin. We're going to stumble. But repentance is a determination of the will, a change of the heart and mind, which results in a change of life, a change of direction. Some of us need to repent. That's what the book of Amos is all about. Amos cries out and says, oh, Israel, repent. Prepare to meet God. Turn your hearts and lives around. Turn your insides so that your outside will be what it ought to be. Repent or perish, Jesus says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. And then he says you are to confess. Unless you confess that I am He, unless you're willing to confess my name, I'll not confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me, I'll deny you. Paul would pick it up and say, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to confess our faith that Jesus is the Christ. And then we need to be in Him to receive the benefits of being in His body, that saved people, according to Ephesians 5. How do we get into Christ? Well, the Bible teaches that we're baptized into Christ. That we put the old man to death and we bury him in the watery grave of baptism, like Jesus was buried. And then through power and through faith in God's power, raised to walk in newness of life, like Jesus was raised to walk in newness of life. We too can be raised from the watery grave of baptism, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we simply urge you to do what the Lord instructed us to urge you, instructed His apostles to do, and instructed all the New Testament Christians to do, to be baptized for the remission of their sins. That puts one into Christ. And then we're to continue to obey and serve Him. That's part of our Christianity. That's part of our faith. That's part of our life. That's part of our change. We've not just been reformed, we've been reborn, recreated in Christ Jesus. And our life is different. It's got to keep on being different. And so Paul would urge the Roman Christians to offer themselves as a living sacrifice and have their mind renewed each day. We need to live as Christians ought to live. In 1 John chapter 1, John says, basically he puts it in terms that we can, I think, understand. He says, we're to walk in the light. We're to walk in the light of His Word. We're to walk in His care, His concern, His love. We're to walk in the light. If we say we are right with God, we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's just that simple. And not only are we to walk in the light, but we are to trust in Him for forgiveness. We're to confess our sins. We do sin. We stumble. We make mistakes. He is just and faithful to forgive us our mistakes. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And then he goes on in chapter 2 and says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. As long as we walk in the light and we continue to confess our sins, we continue to trust in Him for forgiveness, we have an advocate, one who pleads our case and appeals to God for us, that we can stand right and be prepared when the Lord comes again. But that's not all we can do. We don't just sit back in a corner and say, "Oh Lord, please do what I need to have done." But rather, John goes ahead and says, "Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." It's a simple test. Do you keep the commandments of God or not? "He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I don't know any better way to say that than any man who does not keep His commandments is not prepared. "But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." Are you walking in the footsteps of Jesus? Are you walking in the light? Are you preparing yourself to meet God? Have you prepared yourself to meet God initially? In Revelation 2 and verse 10, the writer says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life." And then the picture is of God who wants us and longs for us to come home, who waits for us, who loves us, who is merciful and gracious, who does everything, has done everything that we might be prepared, and yet we turn our back on Him and turn our face away from Him and say, "I don't want anything to do with You, God. Leave me alone." And Amos cries out again and says, Oh Israel, be prepared to meet thy God, because you're going to meet Him." Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you living faithfully? If you need to make preparation to meet God, do so today.